If you're ever out doing something dangerous like scuba diving or skydiving, it's always a good idea to listen to what the experts are telling you before you jump in. But my guest this week learned that if you're scuba diving with sharks, it probably doesn't pay to be too curious about them, no matter what little tidbit of info you just learned about them.
This is the Greatest Story Ever podcast.
There comes a time when all the cosmic tumblers have clicked into place, and the universe opens itself up for a few seconds to show you what's possible.
With Keith Conrad.
You know, everything is not an anecdote. You have to discriminate. Here's a good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
One person who has a downright biblical story to tell is Michael Packard from Massachusetts. Mr. Packard was swallowed by a whale.
Got a whale of a tale to tell you, lads. A whale of a tale or two about the flapping fish and the girls I've loved on nights like this with the moon above. A whale of a tale, and it's all true, I swear by my tattoo.
Packard was minding his own business, just diving for lobsters off of Massachusetts, when all of a sudden he said he felt a shove and everything just went black. Initially, Packard thought he was inside of a great white shark, but he couldn't feel any teeth or anything, and he hadn't suffered any obvious wounds.
You know the thing about a shark? He's got lifeless eyes. Black eyes, like a doll's eye.
He estimated he was inside the whale for about 30 to 40 seconds before it finally surfaced. And then when the whale got to the surface, it just started shaking its head from side to side, and eventually Packard came sliding right out. Turns out it wasn't a shark, it was a humpback.
You gotta find some humpbacks. Humpbacked people? Whales, Mr. Scott, whales.
Of course, you'd already be well aware of Mr. Packard's whale of a tale if you visited KeithConradMedia.com and signed up for my free email newsletter, The New Side Quest. Everybody's doing it, and frankly, they're starting to talk about the fact that you haven't yet.
We love a tale, and it's all true, I swear by my tattoo.
My guest this week is Bryce Conlon. Bryce is a speaker, author, podcaster in his own right, and he's the founder of Narrative Advantage, which helps businesses get their story out there in the world. And he has his own fish story to tell. Bryce, thanks so much for joining me.
Oh, Keith, it's my pleasure. Absolutely.
And you're the founder of Narrative Advantage. Tell me a little bit about the work that you do.
You know, it's interesting work. We've realized over the years that story is fundamental to absolutely every part of being human. Mm-hmm. And businesses don't really do story very well. Leaders don't do story very well, their own story, the stories of their teams. They don't coax it out of the people that work for them. Organizationally, we don't do very well with story. You know, we invent them, but we don't necessarily discover what's there. And so really the narrative advantage is just about helping organizations through the people that are part of the organization discover their individual stories and then collectively their narrative to gain a foothold in the marketplace. So that's a very, very, very condensed version, and hopefully that made sense.
It did make a lot of sense. And, you know, speaking of story, this is the Greatest Story Ever podcast. I've had some high seas adventures already in, you know, my 50 or so episodes. But this is the first story that will actually have a close encounter with a shark. So I'm very excited about it.
Yeah, well, it was very exciting. So I had a really interesting upbringing in the sense that while my family is from Connecticut, you know, that's kind of the place of my origin. I live in Illinois now, but I didn't grow up in Connecticut. My parents were teachers in the American international schools abroad. As newlyweds, they worked at the American school in Paris. A few years later, they ended up in Islamabad, Pakistan. I'm sorry. They went to Kuwait next, the American school in Kuwait City. Then they went to Islamabad in Pakistan. We came home for a couple of years. And then when I was five, we moved to Qatar, which is a tiny, most people know where it is now, some don't, but it's this tiny little peninsula that sticks off of Saudi Arabia into mm-hmm. the Persian Gulf. And that's where I grew up. So
before
world.
You were even an adult, your suitcase already had plenty of stickers on it.
I was a backpack kind of guy. So no, oh, okay. My suitcase didn't have stickers. I had patches though. I sewed a lot of patches on. So yeah, in premise, same deal.
Yeah.
Yeah, same idea. So, you know, when you grow up in a different country from where you live, there's always travel, right? And so like school would end because, again, my folks are teachers. So they had summer off. And so we'd always kind of we take summers and we come back to the States and, you know, I'd see my grandparents and we'd hang out on our lake house and whatever. And, but getting back, it was such a long flight that we'd often would break it up. And sometimes we'd, you know, go someplace really close by. Sometimes we'd go somewhere in the middle. Like we'd go from Qatar to London to New York, right? And then we'd drive back to Connecticut. Sometimes we'd go from Qatar to South Africa to New York, right? Like we'd just kind of stop mm-hmm. off. So I got to see a lot of the world. And when I was, I'm guessing about 14, I'm sure I've repressed some of this memory. So. But when I was about 14, I think, we ended up in Oman, which is another Arab nation. Mm-hmm. And Oman is just, it's really beautiful. And we went on a scuba trip. That's what we did. My dad is like a nutty scuba diver. He does nothing halfway. So he's actually a dive master instructor. So he's the guy who can now teach other dive masters how to, it's crazy. Wow. He doesn't do anything halfway. And so anyway, we end up in Oman on this dive vacation. And you do all these dives, when you go on a dive vacation, it's like you do two or sometimes three of them a day. Mm-hmm. And it gets really exhausting. And in some ways, to be honest, it can get a little boring, which sounds absurd to say out loud, but it's true. You just keep going under the water. You see some stuff, you come up, right?
Well, now I'm really into ships, the Titanic specifically. Have you done any cool shipwreck diving, like Truck Lagoon or anything like that?
I have not. So I haven't, honestly, I have not been scuba diving since this incident.
I can see why that would be a little scarring, yeah.
Yeah. So I still swim in the ocean, you know, when I'm around it, but I have not been scuba diving since this happened. And, but I have done some cool wreck dives, not ships per se, but, artificial reefs where they sink, you know, they'll sink cars or some buses and you kind of go and poke around in there. So those are always cool and neat. But this time we're in Oman, and Oman is just, it's beautiful. It's a really cool country and we're right on the coast. The water was warm and we're out on this little boat, and this must have been like day three of our dives. And the dive master says, okay, you know, so if you've never been scuba diving, here's what you need to know. They take you on a boat and there's someone called a dive master. And this is a guy or gal who knows the area. Mm-hmm. They've been on this dive a dozen times, 100 times, and they can kind of tell you what to expect, you know, if there's anything to watch out for, if there's anything to be aware of. And so they kind of brief you before you go into the water. And the dive master said, okay, there are sharks in these waters. Generally, they're harmless. And I'm like, okay, that's cool. Like, I want to see a shark. Like, who doesn't want to see a shark? What 14-year-old boy doesn't want to see a shark?
Yeah, especially,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the dive master adds, and this was their mistake, their fatal mistake. He said, and their skin is really cool. If you stroke it going from head to tail, it feels like silk. But if you stroke them from tail to head, it feels like sandpaper. And as a 14-year-old boy, somehow that sounded like an invitation to pet the sharks.
I could see that. Yeah. I mean, it's pretty much just asking for it, basically.
Yeah, it totally was. And looking back on it, it's like, that's not what this dive master was saying, but that is what I heard. So we go on this dive and we're, you know, kind of swimming along and things are cool. And I turn and I look to my left. Now I was with my mom and my dad, so there were three mm-hmm. of us. And just to set the scene, you have to understand what diving with the three of us was like. My dad, I told you already, he's kind of a perfectionist. Well, mm-hmm. he is a perfectionist in the sense that he does everything by the book. If you have to go down to 42 feet, he's stopping at 41.75 because he wants to make sure he's in the safe range. Like, he's very, very careful, thoughtful, and probably the reason that my mother and I are still alive. Mm-hmm. My mom, is not that. She's in many ways the opposite. She's not at all aware of her surroundings when she's diving. She would swim in front of you with her big fins. She'd kick you in the face. She'd knock your mask off. She'd, you know, pop the regulator out of your mouth. She's always swimming off on her own. She's the opposite of my dad in that regard. And I'm somewhere in the middle, right? Which I guess biologically makes sense.
Yeah.
So we're swimming along, and my mom's out in front because she's always out in front. My dad was in the back making sure that, you know, we stay alive and we're following the rules. And I look to my left and I see a shark kind of sitting, you know, resting, not really sitting, but very slowly moving on kind of the sandy bottom patch in otherwise rocky terrain. And so it really mm-hmm. stood out. And I make a beeline for this thing because, again, if you stroke it from head to tail, it feels like silk. I mean, invitation, right?
I'm going to pet this thing.
I'm petting this thing. This is like, mom, it's followed me home. Can we keep it, right? and so I swim over to it, and the shark kind of comes up off the bottom. Now, I got a full disclosure. I don't know what kind of shark it was. It was either a leopard shark or a nurse shark. I know that one of those is really dangerous, and one of them is not, and I can't remember which it was. And so I swim over to this thing, and it kind of comes off the bottom, and that's cool with me. Like, it's fine. And it kind of starts swimming, and I, of course, take my glove off, and as it swims by me, I put my hand out right behind the gills and near the head, and it swims by, and I just let my hand run all the way down to the tail. And it is, by the way, it's true. It feels like silk. It's the coolest, smoothest feeling. It's just a really neat experience. And to feel the muscle on this animal, like, it's just pure muscle. And that mm-hmm. was the moment when I started to second guess my decision. So there I am with the shark, and I'm like, all right, I did it. I pet the shark. It was cool. I have a story to tell.
Mm-hmm.
It's time to go. And I turn myself around to swim away, and there is another shark now that is there. There are now two sharks.
Well, he just wants to be petted. That's what's happening here.
yeah, maybe
he doesn't want his buddy having all the fun.
He likes the scritches too. Yeah, he wants the pets. Yeah. So there's the second shark now, and I'm like, okay, that's cool. Like, that's neat. Now there's two sharks. All right, fine. It's still not registering in my, you know, 14-year-old brain that this might, we may be transitioning into a dangerous situation. That still hasn't clicked yet. And as I start to swim off, or try to swim off, there's a third shark that shows up. I don't know where it came from. I hadn't seen them before, but now there's three sharks. And they actually start swimming, you know, if you remember the old cartoons that you used to watch as a kid, where, you know, someone's in the water and the shark starts drawing a circle around them. Evidently, that's not made up. That happens. And suddenly I'm in the middle of these three sharks that are circling me. And I'm cut off from my family. My mom is off, like, chasing some sea turtle, right? And my dad is maybe 15 feet away, and the sharks are swimming between me and him. And now it's starting to click that, all right, this is not really where I want to be. Like, I don't feel like I can get away, and I don't mm-hmm. know if I swim, is that, like, do you swim away, or do they chase, you know, or do you just kind of move slowly? Should I move fast? Like, I don't know. I don't know anything about these sharks except that now they're circling me, and head to tail, they feel like silk.
Yeah, and I mean, like, if you run into a bear, I know they say, you know, I think they say don't run away. Because the bear will chase after you. But yeah, you don't know if a shark is going to react the same way.
Well, some bears, see, that's where this gets complicated. Because I know this, I happen to know this about bears, is some bears will chase after you if you run.
Mm-hmm.
Some bears will leave you alone if you just kind of roll up in a ball and play dead. They'll bat you around for a minute and they're fine. And some, if you startle them, they'll charge. And some, if you startle them, they'll run away. Right. So there's, like, all these nuances. So you have to not only know, like, generally about bears, but you have to know, like, what kind of bear is it? So that's all going through my head.
And nobody ever tells you, hey, this shark will come after you and this shark will run away. And yeah, as many Shark Weeks as I've watched on the Discovery Channel, even I don't know that.
Right. Right. And again, thinking back to what the dive master maybe should have told us about, that probably would have been one of those things, but head to tail feels like silk, tail to head feels like sandpaper. Okay, fine. So there we are. So now I'm being circled by these, you know, these three sharks. I don't know anything about them. It's starting to click. I'm starting to, you know, breathe a little more erratically. My heart's starting to pump. And then the sharks start actually getting aggressive, where at first they were just circling. They were keeping their distance. They were maybe 6-7 feet away from me as they're circling. And every so often, the one that was behind me, so I could see two, and then there's one that was always behind me as they were swimming in a circle. And the one that was behind me would start to swim up and like crash into me with its nose. Mm. You know, it was like knocking me. It was like pushing me. And this happened 2 or 3 times. Now I'm going, okay, this is no longer fun. Like, silky or not, I am not having a good time. And as a scuba diver, it's not like you're armed. I guess you could be. But you have a knife that's used to basically untangle yourself from fishing line if you get caught in a net or some, you know, a fisherman's line. So I got like a 4-inch knife and I'm going, do I stab the shark? I don't know. I don't want to stab the shark. Does that piss him off? Probably, you know. And my dad is, I find out later, he's on the other side having the same thought. He's like, all right, I have a 4-inch knife. Like, do I pull it out and just go for this? Like, we don't know what to do. And so my dad is kind of starting to swim in slowly, admittedly, because not wanting to startle the sharks or, you know, get anybody upset. And I'm starting to, you know, drift out or swim out as slowly. So, you know, with some, as much haste as I can manage without like full bore kicking. Mm-hmm. 'Cause again, I don't know. Do they chase? I'm not sure. And it just kind of, it was like a, you know, the shootout scene in a movie, right? Where you just like, everything's tense and nobody wants to like move dramatically and like mm-hmm. cause the cops to start firing and the bad guy to start firing. It's just that is just the tension in the standoff. And enough time passed that I was able to get kind of outside the circle, and the sharks maybe lost interest or didn't feel threatened anymore. And I got outside the circle and kind of swam away and didn't look back. Like I was totally fine not petting another shark, and it was just a really kind of scary experience. And you know, went on with the dive, and it was okay. But it really didn't set in, like, even though it was scary when they were circling, it really didn't set in until we got topside, we got above the water. And as soon as we pop up for air, my dad, I saw, he didn't have to say anything for me to know exactly how he was feeling, and I just saw like the trauma on his face, you know, when he pulled his mask off, of thinking, you know, wondering, is this it? Like, am I going to watch my son get, you know, pulled apart by sharks? And that was the last time I was scuba diving.
Yeah, thus ended your scuba diving career.
You know, it wasn't necessarily, yeah, it did, but not necessarily because I was, you know, afraid to get back in the water. Part of it is I just have to be very careful with how I dive anyway, because mm-hmm. I have a hearing impairment. I'm deaf, 90% deaf in my left ear. Mm-hmm. And when you go under that much water, there is substantial pressure and you can damage your hearing, you know, if you aren't careful. And so after that, I took it easy. I had, you know, some ear stuff, congestion, so I stayed out of the water for that. And then we moved back to the States. So we weren't in, you know, we weren't near the ocean. We, you know, couldn't get on a quick plane flight and within 30 minutes, you know, be in a tropical, you know, at a tropical reef. And so a lot of it was more proximity and circumstance than anything else. And I would go back in the water, although I think I've learned just leave the wildlife be.
and you know that a shark is silky if you pet it head to tail, and sandpapery if you go the other way. So yeah. I mean, what else do you need to know about sharks, really?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, you can learn most of what you need to know from the Discovery Channel. And just for any listeners out there today, as a disclaimer and a liability waiver, this is not an invitation to invite you to go and pet sharks if you see them in the wild. Yeah.
Good,
animals are wild for a reason.
Yeah, know? good life lesson. Don't pet the sharks.
Don't pet the sharks.
Just don't. Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm glad you were able to keep your wits about you in a tense situation. And thanks so much for sharing your story.
My pleasure, Keith. It's hopefully it's a good one.
If you think you can top Bryce's story, shoot me an email at greateststoryeverpodcast@gmail.com.
Gabatron?